So you always want to be prepared to...
to set goals.
To be really disruptive.
Diversity is fundamental.
It is just trusting those super strengths.
To recover from those failures and learn from them.
Humility looks like the softest word, but it's kind of the hardest.
We ourselves are in beta mode.
Life goes on.
Sporting Edge, inside the mind of champions.
Welcome to the Inside the Mind of Champions podcast. My name is Jeremy Snape. I'm a former England cricketer with a master's degree in sports psychology. Since retiring, I've been fortunate to work with and interview some of the world's most successful thinkers and performers, and I'm passionate about translating their habits and routines into practical strategies to help you become more successful. In each episode, I'll be dissecting a common performance challenge to help you improve your mindset, your leadership, and your team performance. To me, our mindset is the next frontier, so let's find out why. Hello, and welcome back to our first episode after a little breather, where we're going to go inside the mind of an incredible jockey, Harry Cobden. He's currently flying high at the top of the Jump Jockeys Championship with 138 wins at a 23% strike rate. The jump jockeys are the most courageous and resilient sports stars around, and they really don't get the rewards or attention they deserve. Each year, they jump 7,000 fences, drive 70,000 miles to the race courses, fall off every 17 rides, and have to keep their body weight under 10 stone to compete. It's absolutely brutal. Well, last summer, I had the amazing experience of spending the day and an evening with Harry and his champion trainer, Paul Nichols. The environment and team that they've created down at the stables in Ditchet, Somerset, is absolutely top class, and it's the foundation for the horses and the jockeys' success. Paul himself, as trainer, has had over 3,500 winners. He's won the Grand National, 4 Cheltenham Gold Cups, and has been crowned the British Jump Racing Champion 14 times in a row. In this current season, he sits at the top of the trainers' table again with over 100 wins. So before we dive into the main interview with Harry, I wanted to share a few of Paul's thoughts on what makes Harry such a special jump jockey, what drives him, and the role he plays in this high-performance system down in Somerset.
You know, it's not just one component. You know, yeah, great, everyone can ride, but you've also got to deal with me, deal with the owners, deal with the pressure. Well, he's now got experience. I mean, he started off pony racing, did all the pony club stuff, so had a great background. And then I think I remember when he was 16, he started riding out for us when he'd been pony racing, rode his first one when he was 16. And now, what's he, 24, going on 25, he's had all that experience. But I think the most important thing, he's very laid back and takes it all. You know, we can have words at races, and he's like me, you just let it go. And, you know, because we're both under a lot of pressure, you know, you don't really realise how much, but we bounce off each other. But I think the most important thing, he's relaxed and he's laid back about it all, and that's what you need. Harry's like me, he's a winner. You know, this is why we do this, because you want to win. Second's no good to anyone, really. You know, not always. All the top professional sportsmen do it because they want to win, and you've got that winner mentality. But there's also a lot behind that to get into that winning situation. You've got to have a great team behind you. Harris has got to be driven, you've got the right horses, right. Loads of things make it work, but most of all, you've got to be. I always thought Alex Ferguson is a great pal of mine. The reason he was so good, he was a winner. All he wanted to do was win. Getting beat was not in the equation. He was, all the hard work, all the effort was to win. And that's why we do at the end of the day, we want to win races. It is all about having the team that can support Harry and me to make sure everything happens. You know, and it's like a well-oiled machine. Everybody knows the place. I've got a fantastic head lad. Clifford Baker's been with me 27 years. And as I said yesterday, probably, you know, with all the experience I've got and the Clifford's got and all the facilities we've now got, which is like the tops, we couldn't actually want for more. We're probably as good a team now as we've ever been. Even go back to days when we had Corto and Demon. That was just, we had those mega class horses. But we've got some good ones now. But as a team overall, I think we're in the best position we've ever been. It's all very well having a plan when you go out there, but it soon changes. You know, as in you watch a Formula One, the teams there, they've got a plan before they go to the first corner and their plans are out the window. You have to adapt, and Harry knows it. He does his own thing. That's why he's top of his game. He knows what he's doing. Plan A is not working. He does the plan B, and plan B doesn't work. He goes to plan C, and he has to work that out for himself, and things don't always go right. And that's, you do get yourself. I mean, obviously, of course, it's annoying when things go wrong. Everyone's put so much into it, but it's that sport, isn't it? Things happen like that. I'm from a different generation, really, if you think about it. I'm 61 now, Harry's 24, so, you know, they're a different generation in a lot of ways, but we get on really well, I'd say, and we'd spend quite a bit of time shooting and fishing together away from the races and, you know, enjoy that side of things, so we've got a good relationship. Like anyone, you have ups and downs a little bit, but I don't think we have too many, and you just get on with it. It'd be nice if I could be champion trainer for the 15th time, but what would mean even more to me, because we could do that, is if Harry was champion jockey. He's had a good start to the season. If we could both be champions of a season, whether it's season next year, that would be absolutely fantastic in my eyes.
Well, those insights give us a great background to the success that Harry's had there from Paul Nicholls. So let's hear now from the man himself. Here's my chat with Harry Cobden, and we start from where his passion for horse racing first began.
So I started pony racing when I was 9 years old. And I got involved with a trainer local to me, which is actually only 20 minutes from where we are now, a guy called Ron Hodges, and he sort of took me under his wing, and I started doing a few yard duties down there. We used to use the gallops to get the pony fit, and progressed from there really. And then I started riding out for him when I was probably 10, and got hooked on it.
What was it about those early days that hooked you?
I suppose one summer I was there riding out, and I loved the horses and the gallops and just generally being around them. But at the end of the summer, I think he gave me 800 quid cash for my 7 weeks of work there in the summer. So that's quite a lot of money when you're 10 years old, isn't it? And it really got me hooked on being focused on trying to be a jockey from then onwards.
And how do you think those early disciplines of the early mornings and the routine and the structure set you up for success in your later career?
It certainly helped. You know, especially in racing, I suppose in every aspect of work, timing's key, isn't it? You can't be late. It doesn't wait for anyone. But, you know, it was always drummed into me from a young age that, you know, you don't want to be late and always get there on time. And it's something that just came quite naturally, I think, because I started so young.
Did I hear or read a story somewhere about your GCSE English? You're missing that for a particular race?
Yeah, so I left school on my 16th birthday, and it was the day I had my first ride. I was meant to sit my English GCSE, and I was on my way to Leicester, and my mother called me and said, where are you? And I said, oh, I'm on the way to Leicester for my first ride. She says, your English GCSE is today. You better get back here now. And I said, I can't, I'm committed. So I went to Leicester, rode outside of a field in a 2 mile hunter chase. It was 33-1, and ended up winning, so it was a good start.
Brilliant. And tell us a little bit about the volume of races that you have each week and each month and each season. What kind of numbers are you clocking up now?
I suppose the last 5 or 6 years it's been between 450 to probably 600 rides a year. This year I'm hoping it's going to be a few more because I'm having a go at the Jockeys Championship, so normally I'd probably have 30 rides in the summer, whereas this year I had 150 already. So I'm going to try and hit that 700 ride bracket this season.
And what do you do? We know it's incredibly arduous and draining. What do you do to recover and get your energy back?
Probably don't do enough. I try and have a good team around me in the sort of aspects of a driver, and I've got a very good agent. So I don't have to book any rides or sort anything like that, and I still live at home, so I don't have to worry about any house duties.
And what about the sort of mental health challenges of the monotony of getting up and it's dark and you're traveling and you're late at night and you're constantly in this sort of physical, you know, challenge? How do you manage that, the ups and downs of the season?
I don't really seek any help from anyone. I just suppose I get on with it and always look to the next day. You know, I know what I've got to do every day. And the worst thing about the job would probably be the travelling, because you're sat in the car for so long. But in terms of the rest of it, I know what I want and I know where I'm going. So I just try and be as organised as I can.
So do your goals motivate you then? Is that a key focus for you, the season goals?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I have a little list of 10 things that I want to achieve in the next 12 months. And I think that, as silly as it sounds, writing it down and having that list and you know what you're trying to achieve, you always achieve it a little bit faster.
Can you give us a clue as to a few of the ones at the top of the list?
Well, one of them would be champion jockey this year. A couple others are financial things. Another one on there is I want to get a house bought. So yeah, there are a few things on there.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of the expectation you have, you know, you're riding some incredible horses. When you know you're sitting on top of a Ferrari, what does it feel like? And how do you handle that expectation from the owners, from the trainers and from the public?
Well, this time of year, it's not that exciting because the horses that run in the summer aren't quite as good. But especially in the winter, it's unbelievable, you know, riding those real top horses in those big races, whether it's a Gold Cup or a King George or, you know, even some of those good novice hurdlers. It's exciting, and they're the ones that you want to be riding. They're the ones that get your name out there.
And from a psychological perspective, do you feel more pressure and that expectation that you're sort of more of a favourite to win?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. That'd be the one thing I think I handle quite well. I wouldn't ever get flustered before I go out, or with a key. I think the key to racing is not to overthink it, because the more you think about it, the harder it gets. And you just confuse and complicate matters.
So is that about staying in the moment and sort of feeling, you know, the horse in that moment and building that connection? Is that the key, rather than worrying about prize money and, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
So how do you manage that? What sort of strategies when you start feeling yourself maybe getting too far ahead or thinking about your rivals? Do you have any cues or anything that bring you back?
Not really. On a big day, I'll go to the races and I'll have 5 or 6 good rides. When you ride for someone like Mr. Nichols, they've always got a good chance. So in the moment, you're riding, you're going out every 30 minutes. So for me, I don't think I've got a chance to overthink it, because you've got 6 races. Some of the races have 15 runners. You've got to know the form of the other horses. You've got to know what you're going to want to do on your horse. There's a lot going on. And I think the last thing you want is the pressure of the horse or the occasion to take over. And you just got to keep things simple and get the job done on each one.
So how do you handle either winning the last 3 or losing the last 3? Is there anything that you're able to park that kind of emotion?
Well, I think once you ride the first couple or whatever, you ride the first one and just say it wins or it gets beat, that race is gone. That's forgotten about. That was 5 minutes ago. You're on to the next one. And racing is a great leveller as well, because you can have 3 winners and you think you're on top of the world. And the next minute, 30 minutes later, you're rolling around at the back of the first hurdle in the next race. So I suppose you probably wouldn't have all that much time to think about it.
And how do you, you've had some big injuries, and I know you've had a fall early on, was it Market Raisin? How do you overcome that kind of injury?
Yeah, the one at Market Raisin was probably the worst injury I've ever had. I fractured my neck in 2 places and spent 5 months on the sideline for that. So that was long and hard. But the only thing it was at a time of year where I didn't really miss too much. It was in the summer, so from a winners and rise point of view, it didn't affect me too much. Coming back, it was just nice to get the first couple of rides out of the way and have your first fall, to know that you could take a fall. And after I had probably 10 rides, I was back in the swing of things, and it was like I never really stopped, really.
And jump jockeys are a special breed, without a doubt, but a lot of people talk about this winning mindset, and it's different in each sport or business that you work in. But how would you define it, the winning mindset?
I think collectively as a group, every jockey would be fairly different, but personally, I do, well, it's all about winning, isn't it? It's all about results. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to get ahead of myself. And I just try and take a more relaxed approach, but just because that works for me. I go out there and take it as it comes. And obviously, every race you want to win. But I feel that I'm better just being a little bit more relaxed about it. Not in the respect that I don't go out there and try quite as hard, but I go out there and take them as they come, rather than try and force it and want everyone really bad.
So what's your mind on? If it's not on the prize money and the finish line, what is your mind on?
It's on the prize money, because I look at every race before I go out. But in terms of what my mind would actually be on, I suppose there would be sort of three things that I'd be thinking about going out into a race: where the start, the position I want, and where I'm going to have a go at trying to win the race. There'd be sort of three factors that I would think about and how I'm going to play it out. But I wouldn't always go out there with a sealed plan of what I'm going to do, because it can always change at some point in a race. So I think personally, I'm better off going out there with an open mind, with half a plan. And if that doesn't happen or something goes wrong halfway, you've always got a plan B.
And that more relaxed perspective that you spoke about, a lot of athletes or people in the business world only think you can be successful if you are obsessive and you spend every hour of the day, you know, focused on your job. But it seems like you've got other hobbies and interests and professional interests outside of racing. Tell us a little bit about what else you like to do and what benefit that gives you.
I suppose I love the farming side of things. My parents are farmers. It's something I've always had an interest in, and it's something I love doing. And when I'm around there, I'm not thinking about racing or what I've done right or wrong in that day. It sort of would take my mind off the situation, and I think it does me good.
And the bond with the horse seems to be a critical element of what you do. How do you build that rapport and that relationship? And you seem to be quite relaxed, but how do you keep the horses relaxed on these massive days?
I always think when I ride horses from this yard in particular, I know them quite well before they run. So I spend a bit of time schooling them and riding them out now and again. And then some of the horses that I ride, the only time I'd sort of see them or whatever would be at the racetrack or when I'm getting on them before the race. So you get a feel of what you're going to expect before the flag drops, when you're cantering down to the start. And you can watch all their previous races online, so you half know what you're expecting beforehand.
And which has been your most enjoyable race and partnership with those?
Clan de Zobo's just retired. He was he was a special horse. You know, he gave him one of my first big days in the saddle, and you know, every day wasn't glory with him, but we had a lot of good days. And my sponsor, Jeb Mason, he owned him, so yeah, it was just a horse that I really enjoyed riding, and it was a great buzz before and after.
One of the hardest things in your profession seems to be the maintenance of your weight. How do you manage that from both a physical perspective, from an energy perspective, and obviously psychologically, to know that you can't go out and have the big meals or the celebration, even after maybe 6 winners in a day, you can't go out and, you know, pile on the gourmet meal.
No, I'm quite lucky. My weight's quite good. I probably don't eat like the normal average human being, but I would be fairly lucky that I wouldn't have to go sweating, or I don't go to the races with the heater on in the car, and I don't do hot baths, but I just try and eat a good healthy diet. And I'd say I'm quite lucky, because I see so many jockeys in there that have to get to the races and run 3-4 laps of the course, or they've been out running the night before, or they haven't eaten for a day. But at the same time, I think I do a good job of managing my weight, because I always try and eat right and eat healthy and stay fit.
One of the key attributes of all the people we've interviewed seems to be this constant drive to improve and learn and innovate and find different ways to get better. How important is that in your approach, and what kind of things are you looking to do to improve?
I think I'm still improving now. And I would always watch races back that I've ridden that evening and think about things that I could have done different. No, I think fitness is a key aspect when you're a jockey, because, well, an example is a friend of mine was in the gym the other day, and he said he couldn't get his heart rate over 175, and he rode in a race around Worcester the other night, and his heart rate was like 196. I think fitness is key. I try and stay fit. I always run a lot. And yeah, I analyze things after the event and think about things that I could have done different or should have done different, and try and put it right the next day.
Tell us a little bit about the countdown of your day on a race day. What kind of routines and superstitions or habits have you picked up that help you to get into those races well prepared?
So I'd normally start early in the morning, come go and ride out, then I'd go home, have a bit of breakfast and go to the races. I'd always walk or run the course at some stage, and then I'd probably go back in, get ready, get my gear on, have a cup of tea, just go through the form again. I would have gone through it the night before anyway and worked out what I was half gonna do. And then I'd make sure all my saddles were ready. My valet would have all of that pretty well sorted, but just double check, and then I'd be ready to go.
And are there any sort of, is there any self-talk or keywords or anything? Because some people sometimes get into a negative frame of mind and have that voice in the head criticizing them. Have you ever encountered that?
No, I haven't. No, I wouldn't have any keywords or anything like that. You definitely need to be in a good mindset, don't you? If you're turning up in the wrong mindset, then you nearly beat before you start. You see, I think in our profession, you see so many jockeys ride so much better off of, you know, well, I just call them confidence jockeys. If someone rode a win in the first, the likelihood is if they had a chance later on, they'd ride another one. And I think there are a lot of lads that ride better with confidence.
Yeah. Are there any sort of key things that we've missed in terms of your mindset? What I mean, one thing a lot of people wrestle with is the judgment of other people or their rivals, and they get distracted by social media or that kind of thing. And one of the key elements is staying focused. So is that something that you've had to learn?
I think it's, there's obviously a lot of negativity on social media when it comes to us because someone's lost their fiver, and it's easy to blame the jockey, isn't it? But I wouldn't really listen to any of that. And it's quite sad, but I'd probably quite like reading their comments. But in terms of keeping my own mindset positive, I think I always try and go to the races in a positive mindset, and and it'd be very, very rarely that I wouldn't be, because I'm looking forward to the day, you know. I'm excited to be there, and especially when you're going on to a big day and you've got good chances, it's what I've wanted to do for the last 15 years. So to find myself in a position that I'm in at the moment, it's hard to be hard to go to the races in a negative mindset, because it's, you know, I'm in a good position riding lots of good horses. And yeah, I think to stay in a positive mindset is fairly easy when you're in my position.
If you look forward to the end of your career and look back, what do you want to have achieved?
I don't know. Maybe I'd like to be remembered as a big race jockey that's rode lots of good winners. I don't want any regrets. And yeah, I'd like to have a successful career until I'm 30 plus. Ridden as many winners as I could, as many big winners as I could, made a few quid and got something to show for it.
So there we have it, a fascinating insight into a humble, driven winner. I love the simplicity of Harry's approach, taking each race as it comes. That busy afternoon, but every 30 minutes, he's almost wiping the slate clean and immersing himself in the next race. The research of his rivals, the horses on, the conditions, never looking too far ahead. And the way he turns the expectation or the criticism on social media down into just background noise. And his gratitude for the opportunity that he's got is what drowns everything out. He loves the horses, he loves the opportunity, and he loves competing. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that they broke their neck at a good time of year, but that insight alone shows the focus to get back competing with very little fuss. I'm sure Harry's on track to achieving his season's goals with wins, finances, and maybe even securing the house that he wants. But the key to his long-term success is not getting too high and not getting too low based on the results, and just focusing on being excellent in the moment in his next race. I really hope you've enjoyed this episode. And remember, if you need any support for a conference speech or any content for your business, then please do drop me a note through to hello@sportingedge.com. And if you'd like to have a free access trial to our Mindset Toolkit, that's this incredible learning platform where all of our interviews sit, then just click on the show notes below. There's a link there. And I'm sure you'll have absolutely hours of fun exploring. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Inside the Mind of Champions. Connect with Jeremy's LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram links in today's show notes to receive the latest insights from his work. If you'd like to get access to Sporting Edge's digital library or book Jeremy for a conference speech or webinar, then please visit www.sportingedge.com or email hello@sportingedge.com.